Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. The voice of Billy Brim will be with us today, sharing and enlightening us on how to be led by the Spirit of
God. How to hear.
You can't learn anything more important than how to hear from the Spirit.
And that's exactly what Jesus told Brother Hagin when he walked into that hospital room and pulled out a chair and talked to him. He said, there's nothing more important for you to teach my children in the last days and how to be led by the Spirit of God.
Praise God.
So many of the things that I'm telling you here is what the Lord told him.
Praise
God. I'm reading this Romans 8:16 from the English Standard Version because the King James says the Spirit itself, but really it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We talked about it yesterday. The spirit of man is the real you. And when you get born again, the spirit himself, quote unquote, bears witness in your spirit that you're born again. Your knower knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, to Brother Hagin in the hospital said, the number one way, the primary way that I lead all my children is by the inward witness. He called it the inward witness. Well, look here. The inward witness dwelling in your spirit is the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:16 says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. There's a witness inside you. And the Lord Jesus Christ told Brother Hagin, the number one way, the primary way that I lead all of my children is by the inward witness. So that's how we first know that we're born again. That's how we know that we are a child of God. That's how we know we're born from above. That's how we know that heaven is our home. That's how we have know-so salvation. Know-so. K-N-O-W-S-O. Know-so salvation. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself.
Right.
So Jesus said the number one way I lead is by the inward witness. Everyone, that's how we know we're born again. We have the we're born witness. And he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Now listen to 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know so that we passed to death unto life. Not we hope so.
Yeah.
Not we'll know when we get to heaven. We know so now. We have the witness, the inward witness that we're born again, and we have the love that we're born again. The witness and the love. Love is a witness as well. I know a person, a friend of mine, who was talking with a pastor of a very large denomination. And this pastor has a leading position in the hierarchy of that denomination. And Shelley heard him say, if anyone says that they know they're going to heaven when they die, they are a liar. You cannot know. Well, Shelley thought, you know, we've always talked about know-so. We know-so.
Yeah.
We know about it. And we know-so by the witness. We know-so by the love of God in our hearts. And but if you depend upon works for your salvation, then you might have to kind of wonder, you know, but it's not by works. It's by grace that we are born.
Yep.
By grace through faith. So we have a know-so salvation. The witness in our spirit tells us so. The love in our spirit tells us so. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to Brother Hagin, the number one way, the primary way that I lead my children is by the inward witness. That inward witness, and then he explained it to Brother Hagin how it works. It's not exactly a voice. It's a witness. It's a knowing inside your spirit. And he explained to Brother Hagin that it can be like a red light or a green light. As you're thinking on the matter, as you're praying on the matter, you'll have a green light, which is kind of soft and velvety in your spirit, and you'll just go. You'll proceed. But if you have a red light, it's like a check. It stops you at the traffic light. Green light lets you go. Yeah. Red light stops you. So you'll have a check inside you. It will be a check in your spirit.
Yeah.
You know, don't do this. Have you ever had that? Yep.
Yep.
We've had that. Sometimes it's just a small matter as you're driving down the street and you're going to go home the normal way. You always go home and drive home, but suddenly in your spirit, and it's not anything you can really put into words, but don't go that way. You know, you're check. So you're going to go around this way. And I know one time Shelley's first husband, he had built a great business in Branson. And someone came and wanted him to build a business like that in another town. And Shelley said, I had the most check in my spirit. It was like, almost like being sick at your stomach. And she knew not to do it, but her husband, we're going to do it. So they lived a year having to overcome that thing. And then they eventually ended back up in Branson, and things turned out all right. But they walked through some pretty dark places they wouldn't have had to walk through.
That's right.
And she said, really, I wasn't so honest about it. I didn't tell him that I had that check in my spirit, you know. So she's learned. You can't get Shelley to overwrite a check anymore.
No, me either.
Bless the Lord. So the very first way he leads us, and he told Brother Hagin, is the primary way, the inward witness.
What feels right on the inside?
In your spirit. What seems right. Now, he said the second way that he leads is the inward voice. This is on page 2. The inward voice. Romans 9:1 reads, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So your conscience in a believer, right here, what Paul was writing about is his spirit. The Holy Ghost gives him a witness, and his spirit gives him a witness. Your spirit, is conscience a safe guide? It is if you've trained it up in the Word of God and prayer, and you're strong in your spirit, then your conscience is a safe guide. People can override their conscience till it doesn't even have a voice anymore.
Sure.
But the conscience has a voice. And the inward man, who is a spirit man, has a voice. It's the voice of his conscience. Just as the outward man has a voice, there's an inward voice. We sometimes call this voice the still small voice. The still small voice on the inside. Gloria, I'm not bragging on me.
Oh, come on, Bill.
No, I'm not bragging on me.
But
Brother Hagin used to say, if you get my age, you should have stumbled up on a few things.
Yeah.
I've been born again 70 years.
70 years.
70
to be
years.
As young as you
as
are.
Young. I'm
that's
just
amazing.
In my crib, you know, just a crib there. But in 70 years, and I most of those 70 years, I was in church all the time, in the Bible. Even my parents, before I was filled with the Spirit in 1967, they brought me up and with a great respect for the Word of God.
Then I wonder you're so much smarter than I am.
No. Well, I'm so much older. No, just kidding. But in 1967, you and I were in the same Brother Hagin meetings.
That's right.
And I was baptized in the Holy Ghost there. I think you'd already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but see, you beat me on
anything,
that.
Though.
Yeah, we had to learn there, didn't we? And so 50 years I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes in you at your new birth. Every born-again person has the Holy Spirit. But there's a further experience and infilling with him in the filling with the Holy Ghost. So in all of that time, 50 years filled with the Spirit, 50 years praying in tongues. And what does the Bible say?
Edifies you.
When my spirit prays, how does it pray? In tongues.
My spirit,
praying in the spirit is praying in tongues. My understanding is unfruitful. So you can pray in the spirit, you pray in tongues, and when you pray in tongues and pray in the spirit, and then you meditating in the word of God, your spirit is growing. If I didn't know something by this time, you should haul me off to the altar or someplace. I don't know what. But in my prayer time in the morning, that still small voice speaks to me. And I'll be reading along or praying about something, and I hear it. It's the voice of the Lord, but it's coming from my spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells.
Mm-hmm. The inward witness.
This is the inward voice. It's more vocal. It enunciates in words.
More authoritative.
Yeah. And it's still not that authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit, but it's the voice of the inward voice. And I hear it. And you can hear it too. God will lead you by that. Sometimes you'll just hear it.
It will save your life.
Yes, sometimes. Absolutely. Now, the number three way that the Lord told to Brother Hagin that he guides his spirit is by what you already just now said, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the stronger, more authoritative voice of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is the voice of the Spirit that you almost think it sounds audible.
Threatening, too.
It can be if he's teaching you something, which I've had that a few times in my lifetime. This voice of the Holy Spirit, mostly it's the inward voice, the still small voice that I hear him by. But the voice of the Holy Spirit, I've heard that, especially when I needed to hear it, and I didn't know so very much about the inward voice. But God was trying to get me to understand something early on in my life about going to Israel and different things. I heard that voice that sounds audible. If somebody else was in the room, I doubt they would hear it. But I heard it like an audible voice. You won't have that so much in your life, but you can have it. And that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. But all of these are going to come to you from the Spirit of God and from the spiritual realm. You can train your human spirit so that you're more, you can pick it up. You can hear these things. You hear the voice of God rather than the voice of the world. You do this by feeding on it in the Word of God, by communicating with God through prayer, by listening to your heart. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Jesus and about how you remember Clara Grace?
Yes, of course.
And she too had visions in her lifetime. And this is one, I've written it all out here, Gloria. I'll just hit the highlights for you, but
again.
I wrote out what she said about this. She said she was caught away in the spirit, and she was in the carpenter shop watching Jesus complete the last table he made before entering his ministry. Mm-hmm. He took no shortcuts. She saw him finish and polish the table very well. He cleaned his tools and put them away neatly. Page 2. Then he turned to her and stretched out his arms. She knew to step into him. She put her arms where his arms were, her legs where his legs were. She said, at once I was as big as a universe and as small as the tiniest particle in it. Knowledge came to her where the Bible is seemingly silent. Mm. The 18 years between his going up to Jerusalem at age 12 and the start of his ministry at age 30, it was revealed to her how God the Father taught the Son. For the one who had walked up and down through eternity had laid aside his glory, humbled himself, and became as we are. And she saw that Jesus, as he grew up, had to be taught by God. He had to have the revelation of God. He had to be taught and trained in his spirit, just like you and I are. Now, emphasis was brought to her on some scriptures. One of them, Psalm 119, 97, 101, through 101. Psalm 119, verse 97 through 101. And she was told, now this speaks of Jesus and how God the Father taught him. 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. God's commandments were ever with Jesus. He was always meditating on the Word of God. God taught him. God made him wiser than all of his enemies. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. The place of meditation in God's Word, even Jesus had to do it. He operated as a man. So he meditated the Word of God, and through meditating the Word of God, he made him wiser than all of his teachers. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. When he went down, he was 12 years old, and he went down at Passover time, and he astonished the doctors and the lawyers. This tells you how he got that way, because he had meditated on God's Word. Psalm verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Only the Messiah did that. Only Jesus did that. David was not speaking of himself. His feet went into evil ways sometimes.
But that's what everybody should do.
Yes, exactly. And that's what Jesus did. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. That scripture is speaking of Jesus, the Father taught him. Now in Isaiah 50, it reveals how he taught him. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away
Praise
back.
God.
I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore shall I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Sister Grace was told in that vision, Jesus said, every time I laid my head upon the pillow, I meditated the word of God and who I was in it. And this scripture in Isaiah 50 says God opened his ears and taught him. And when he looked at the scripture, he taught him from the scriptures. Jesus had meditated them. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now that's what kept his ear open, and that's what will keep your ear open.
That's right.
When you see in the word of God what God wants you to do and you meditate it, then God will speak to you. Often he speaks to me first thing in the morning, and you keep your ears open because you walk on with God. You never are rebellious to that word. You walk on and on.
Praise God. You give God your attention, he'll give you his attention.
That's right. Guide you with his eye.
That's right. Glory to God. Billy and I'll be right back.
Over 114 million people have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior through Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the ministries we support around the world. Thank you, partners, for helping to reach the lost and win souls for Jesus. Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We have a 24-hour prayer line and prayer ministers on staff who are trained in the Word of God to pray in faith with you. Last year, over 2.5 million requests were prayed over. The Believer's Voice of Victory TV broadcast airs around the world on 452 TV stations, broadcasting 779 hours each week, sharing the gospel and ministering the word to 2.3 billion viewers worldwide. The Believer's Voice of Victory Network launched on July 1st, 2015, delivering the uncompromised word of God 24 hours a day, airing on Dish Channel 265, reaching 14 million potential households. The network is also viewed on our Roku channel, 4th Generation Apple TV, and BVOVN.com. The Believer's Voice of Victory Network is total immersion in God's Word. Share the good news of the Word. Over 360,000 copies of our Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed free each month into 204 countries. It's available in 6 languages and can also be read online on our website. KCM.org is your study center and go-to place for word-based teaching. Last year, there were 10.3 million visits to our website and 1.5 million podcast downloads. Strengthen your faith with our online learning center, Believers Academy, with 98 video lessons. Join our online partner community with 92,000 believers and 597 community groups. Partners and friends stay connected with Kenneth Copeland Ministries through our social media. Over 1.2 million Facebook fans, more than 227,000 Twitter followers, 1.3 million YouTube views, and 1.1 million blog visits. One word from God can change your life forever. Over 111,000 partners and friends from 125 countries joined us last year at our KCM events. Admission was free, and believers from around the world received over 100 total hours of teaching in a spirit-charged atmosphere of faith. Every month for the past 29 years, Kenneth Copeland has written a personal letter to his partners. Born out of prayer, each monthly partner letter is from his heart and sent to over 307,000 partners worldwide. Since 1967, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has sent out teaching resources on 15.8 million CDs and DVDs, 21.4 million books, and 5.8 million digital downloads. 10% of every dollar received into KCM is sown into other ministries around the world. Your giving is helping support orphanages, feed the hungry, buy medical supplies, reach out to those in prison, and bring love and hope to families across the globe. Reaction Tour, an outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. founded by Courtney Copeland in 2012, has ministered to over 3,400 children in six camps. They've served over 32,000 meals and given away more than 1,700 pieces of sports equipment. Kenneth Copeland Ministries Prison Outreach gave over 1 million ministry products free of charge to inmates last year. KCM ministers to over 40,000 inmates worldwide and receives over 160,000 letters a year. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Last year, Kenneth Copeland Ministries Evangelism Training helped train over 1,200 people to reach the lost and win souls for Jesus. When the storms hit the homes of our partners, you helped reach out to over 66,000 partners and friends. KCM's disaster relief team traveled to 42 cities, providing cash, groceries, school supplies, Christmas gifts, and more to families in recovery. Reaching across the globe, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has offices in Canada, Australia, Africa, Europe, Germany, Asia, Ukraine, and our newest in Latin America. Ministering to a partner base outside the United States of more than 100,000 partners in 186 countries on six continents. Thank you, partners, for standing with us to spread the gospel through every available voice. It's because of you that lives are changed all over the world for eternity. Let's continue to make a difference for Jesus in this great year.
Everything you need financially is already in this earth.
We've been blessed. See, we've already. Here's what I want you to get from me today. We've already been blessed. We talk about the blessing. We've already been blessed.
There's a community. There's a like-mindedness. There's a oneness of the spirit. It's like a taste of heaven.
It's one thing to watch it on TV. It's another thing to be here and feel the anointing. And there are things that are said that are not necessarily broadcast. And whenever the Lord hits you with something, it's just like, that time is like, oh, that was for me.
All of a sudden, you just come to a meeting like this and get fed the word, and you're just like, your spirit's built back up, and you're just ready to go.
It was phenomenal. I mean, it was more than what I was really expecting. The word that went forth about faith and healing and knowing, just knowing who you are is awesome.
We set ourselves in agreement together with every request on this board, Father, and we thank you for it. Grace is my overwhelming desire to treat you like sin never happened.
We need to understand that our words have power and authority. You talk what you want to come to pass.
The King is here tonight. Jesus the healer is here tonight. Jesus the Savior is here right now.
Thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Give him praise. Hallelujah.
I got out of that wheelchair, walked up here, and was healed.
You can just sense the presence of God.
Healings, excitement, expectation, everything's different.
You just got to experience this.
Today is offering day. When Ken and I married, we were very much in poverty. I married him and his notes at the bank, and I didn't have anything either. But as we began to sow, we learned about sowing and reaping. You sow your seed just like you planted it in the ground, and you reap your harvest. You sow with faith and words, and you reap in faith and words. And Everything changed when we began to learn that. I'm sure Billy had the same experience.
Yes.
She may not have been as poor as we were, but when you sow your seed, go to the scripture and see what, you know, read a scripture over. I give and it's given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into my bosom. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, they didn't say you had to be a preacher. It's a law of faith. You sow and you reap. If you sow in faith and you reap in faith. Hallelujah. That's for everybody. So when you sow your offering today, Billy and I are going to agree with you right now for a great return. Father,
yes.
We pray for every person sowing today. We believe for the hundredfold return. That's in your word. I didn't make that up. We believe for the hundredfold return. We believe for great and wonderful things to come into the lives of the people as they sow into you and your work. And we give you the praise for it. We thank you, Lord, that it's your will that we not lack any good thing. We are blessed, and we praise you, and all that we have has come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to a church that believes in sowing and reaping.
Oh, yes.
If you go to a church and they don't believe in that, you're not going to hear words on it. And if you don't hear words on it, you won't have faith on it. So get in a good work church that believes in prosperity. A lot of churches don't really believe that. We've had a lot of persecution because we believe it. And I'm not changing in Jesus' name. If you missed any of the broadcasts, you can watch them free on KCM.org or on the Roku channel. Find your good church and go to it this weekend and hear the word of God. Billy and I'll see you Monday. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
You can watch this Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast again at kcm.org. Remember to download your free copy of the study notes at kcm.org/notes.